People development goes beyond traditional HR practices, focusing on nurturing and empowering employees, ultimately leading to positive organizations. According to a study by the Association for Talent Development, companies that invest in comprehensive training and development programs enjoy a 24% higher profit margin than those that spend less on training. In this episode, we are joined by Harrison Tash, founder of Living Water, to discuss how focusing on nurturing and empowering employees can lead to tangible benefits such as enhanced performance, innovation, and growth. Pick up a copy of my book, Customer Transformation, and lead your organization to drive business value and customer loyalty. To support the show, visit chrishood.com/show, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, follow us on social media, or you can email me directly, show@chrishood.com. I'm Chris Hood, and let's get connected.
Connecting. Access granted. It's the Chris Hood Digital Show, where global business and technology leaders meet to discuss strategy, innovation, and digital acceleration. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Your digital evolution starts now. Here's your host, Chris Hood.
Welcome to the show. Harrison, would you mind introducing yourself?
Hey, thanks, Chris. Appreciate you having me on. I'm Harrison Tash. I'm founder of Living Water Consulting. We primarily work with companies across the spectrum, working with organizational development, helping them with healthy leadership, working with their strategy, helping them execute that strategy. And obviously with that strategy comes all sorts of little projects and, concentrated areas within companies that we work with them on.
Well, I think that's a good place to start. I'm going to throw you a curveball, maybe question just to get started with. You talked about leadership and strategy. What do you think are the three top main components for a successful organization?
Oh, man, just three? Okay, that's a great curveball. And I like how you're keeping me on my toes. If we look at healthy leadership as being one of the most important pieces. And when I say healthy, I don't just mean that you have all the right people in the right spots. I mean that they are healthy in themselves. Like, they not only understand what the company's about, they not only understand what they're about, but they have expectations, they know how to do it. So healthy leadership is at the top. But if I go even deeper to, or maybe I should say more broadly to the organizational level, the purpose behind the organization is so important. And I think that if you go around and ask companies, you go around and ask everybody, like, why do they do what they do? They're probably going to give you some response. But then if you say, hey, why does your company do what they do? You're going to have a response across the board that probably doesn't match. And you're probably going to have a hard time figuring out what the outlier is. You're going to have wide range of, money. We do it because, we love helping communities. We do it because we make the best product for, and you just go across the board. You're going to find different answers. And I do every time we're in an organization, we start with that question. Why does your company exist? Especially like in the assessment side, the diagnosis side. So healthy leadership, certainly believe understanding the purpose and the why. But also the values, right? And we've all either written books or read books about core values and why is the values that we do and what are they? And some people have 20, some people have 3, and some people have none, right? They don't have any listed values. But I think those are important because they're the filter for all your decisions. And so if you can figure out the purpose behind your company, if you can figure out how to have the healthiest leadership that you can, and you can figure out where your core values are, you can make decisions and you can make investments and you can drive the ship in the right direction without it getting off track. So I guess off the cuff, Chris, now you threw me the curveball, so maybe it's not the most holistic answer, But if you go to my website, you would find the 8 to Great, which is our proprietary system, which we believe are the 8 components that make the most thriving business that you can have. And so I kind of picked out of there the first foundational 4. I picked 3 out of the 4. So
I think it works. We've got leadership, we've got purpose, and we've got value. And I was kind of snickering as you were saying, we've all read or written a book. And yes, I wrote a book where those three elements, I couldn't have pinpointed it even better. Those three elements are essential parts of internal organizational alignment with your customer. And we can dissect through any one of those. I think if we looked backwards, if we kind of work backwards and we start with the values, the value is one of these interesting things, because if we look at several organizations out there today, there is a misalignment between the organization's value and their employees, as well as a misalignment between the values of the business and the values of their consumers. And that misalignment is costing these organizations millions and almost billions of dollars in revenue. And what's interesting about it is if you go and start reading and researching these organizations, it's almost as if they don't care. Like they just simply are doing it because they want to impose either their own values on others, or, you know, or they just don't understand their customer. So how do we get that alignment back in place?
You know what, that's a great observation, and I think that it really depends. You know, when you do research and or you're collecting research from other agencies that are doing it, and you're reading it, you often find some sort of split, right? You find that there's a group of people over here who certainly do care about what their customers believe and what they value. And then, like you said, you find this broad spectrum of people who are like, they seem not to care and they just go in their own way. And really, I think oftentimes money is a factor in that, right? It's like you see companies growing, you see that they're doing well, and people need their services. It's not a highly competitive area, or maybe just not in that region. And so, you know, they do what they do because money still comes in. And I think, to your point, what they don't realize is it's not sustainable just to do what makes money for the moment. It's got to be sustainable on how do we do the right things consistently over time and see the results so that we can pivot and maneuver our own strategy and what we do so that, yes, we hear what the customers are saying, but we also are able to then replicate that inside our four walls and make sure all our employees understand how we're pivoting too, right? So I don't know if that answers your question, but certainly it's a great point.
Yeah, when we have smaller organizations, obviously if you've got a team of 10, it's a lot easier to find 10 people who align with the values of the organization. As you start to scale that business, you get to 20, you get to 50, you get to 500, 5,000, 10,000, it becomes obviously a lot harder. Everybody, you know, we're all unique. We all have our individual belief systems. We all have our individual drivers for why we are working or why we're not working. Yet, when we think about a business's value, I was shaking my head. I completely agree. I think oftentimes the business is focused more heavily on generating money than serving their customers, which is where we get into the problem. But what's fascinating to me about it is that despite even losing money, like this decision lost us money, we're going to make the same decision as opposed to adjusting and saying, well, maybe we're not as aligned as we think we are. We should better understand who our customer is and then make adjustments so that we can make money, right? And that misalignment is the big part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll add to that, you know, it's interesting to me, oftentimes when you see companies that are steering in the wrong direction or aren't getting the information back that they want or you just list out all the problems that you see at a broad spectrum. I like to think of it like this. If you take it down to just the human individual aspect, so you talked about, you know they made that decision and it didn't work out, but they still, you know, they still do what they want to do. And they're not looking at the customer's values. If you look at people in general, there's a section of people who are not great at reflecting. Like they just, you know, they don't take the time, nor do they really think it's that important. But then you have this other spectrum of people that reflect often. And it's those people that you see that they're able to make adjustments. If they're good and disciplined, they're able to make adjustments. And it's teaching organizations the same thing. It's not just a survey. It's what can we do to actually hear what our customer wants? What can we do to actually hear what our employees want? And then how do we pivot and make changes so that our decisions are better? So to your point, yeah, there are people out there, there are organizations out there that will keep doing what they do. And you're exactly right. They're not understanding the values of their customer.
And of course, shameless plug, in my book, I actually provide a tool, a framework for doing just that, to ask specific styles of questions to your customers, as well as your internal teams across the entire organization, to see where you are aligned. And it's more or less a Goldilocks model, which is, you know, Goldilocks, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's just right. You know, this bed is too hard, it's too soft, it's just right. So you want to get into that just right middle section where you are aligned between your customers and your internal organization. And they might think, you know, like, how is your sales support? Well, there's too much or there's too little. Nope, it's just right. And when you can get that just right mentality across, again, the organization aligned with your customers, then I do feel you're going to be more successful. But that takes work. That takes effort. And too often we see people in leadership that just say, well, I already know. I know what they want, so I'm going to do it. Or again, I'll go back. I don't care what they want. This is what I want to do, so I'm going to go and do it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that resource sounds excellent. I mean, certainly me and my practice, you know, our firm has resources like that too, because like we said, like you got to have the reflection piece. And one of the things on the org assessment is, you know, if a company's never had themselves assessed by a third party, this is a shameless plug for anyone who's in this kind of consulting world, do it. Because I promise you, when people come in, they're going to ask these questions that you've probably never been asked before. And in our org assessment, and it sounds like it's kind of similar to some of your questions you're asking, is we'll ask the president or the CEO, and we'll ask the leadership team one thing, and then we'll ask the boots on the ground the other thing. And we'll the same question, but we'll ask them in a different way. And what we'll get is that they're not aligned. Right. And then when we do the customer piece, you say, okay, how would your customer respond to this? Then you go talk to your customer. Okay. All right. So this is what they said. Your customer is saying something completely different than what you guys had said was either the reason why they do business with you, or you fill in the blank of, and you're exactly right. There's an imbalance there. So those questions sound like a great set of questions, and certainly pick up your book to get those questions, because I think those are great.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, when we think about that alignment, and again, we're talking about it from both an organizational perspective and a consumer perspective, those values have to be aligned. However, those alignments often impact also the purpose, which is that second stage, you know, you were talking about. And what I find amazing, and I understand why individuals do this, you get into, I need a job. I have to go to work. I have bills to pay. But we work at organizations that make us miserable, which we don't like, where the values don't align, or more critically, that purpose doesn't align with our own individual purposes. And we stay. And that often causes complications at work, because you're asked to do something that you either don't believe in, or you don't want to do, or you don't align with. And so that purpose, again, I think in a small organization, it's easy to find 10 people who align with the purpose of your company. But I think it goes beyond that. It's ensuring that that core criteria, mission of your company is in everything that you're doing and understood by everyone. And even that sometimes I feel is missing.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's interesting too, because we've been around the table with, you know, large companies, you know, and, you know, $500 million companies that are, you ask them, what's the purpose? What's the purpose for your company? And they just haven't put it on paper yet, right? I would say, if you use the 80-20 rule, 80% of the time, it always starts with money. You know, it's like, well, you know, we're here to make money. That's what we do. That's what it's for. And it's like, you know what? Put that aside, knowing that every company needs to make money. Unless you're in, if you're going to be a nonprofit, you still need to make money. Okay, like everyone needs to make money, right? Put that aside. There are individuals in your company that are motivated by certain things, right? If you do like a DISC assessment, or you do any type of assessment, personality wise, you're going to find out some people are motivated by money. Some people are motivated by who they're with. Some people are motivated by the mission. Some people are motivated by literally just the ability or the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves, right? Like, you have just so many motivations that you could dial in. I think it's so important when you talk about that alignment. It's so important that companies focus on really not just the outcome, but the outcome of who it's helping and why. Like, you got to answer the question of, why are we really helping our customers solve their problems? Because I guarantee you, somewhere along the lines, whoever's leading that company started for a reason, and it's probably not the same reason that they grew into a $500 million company or a Fortune 500 company, right? There's probably reasons why, and you got to figure that out as a team. And of course, you talk about questions. The way you get to that is asking the right questions together, right? So yeah, I completely agree with you. It's so important that you figure it out, but it's so important that you actually know it and that everybody else knows it too.
That's a good segue into the leadership part, because obviously leaders are responsible for ensuring that everyone in the organization understands what the purpose. But what's funny about this is you talk about money being a driving purpose. And I was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago with somebody, and they said that the sign of a strong leader is how much they focus on the profits and losses of an organization. Now, to me, that statement is criminal in a lot of ways. But here is the fine line that I want you to reflect on. They shift their focus to profits and money, and yet they ignore the driving element for those profits, which is what you just said, the customer. If you don't have customers, you don't have money. You don't have, right? And yet they want to focus so heavily on the profits and losses and the statements and the money, and completely lose sight that the only reason that they're generating or losing money is because they're not meeting the customer's needs and expectations. How do we better define what that purpose is from a leadership perspective?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think there's so many dynamic ways that we can figure out how to do this well, right? But here's something to just share that we've implemented, and you've probably implemented in your practice too, is there's got to be some mantras that are just on repeat, right? Like, so when companies start to make really good profits, their net profit just expands, they've figured out how to make money really well, there's a temptation. And again, if you go back to the individual level, there's a temptation in all of us humans that when we figure out that we don't really need anything else, we start to get relaxed. And any customer-centric company has to realize, no matter how much money they're able to make, they have to realize that the problems that their customers have will always be high. And you have to go back to that and say, are we still solving their problems the way that we should? And there's a reflection piece there. It's always bringing in the fact that no matter how much we think we figured out things, things are going to pivot fast because the economy pivots fast. Everything that we once knew that, you know, oh, the economy is just constantly on a nice little incline. It's just an up and down roller coaster. And every company should be going back to the drawing boards, not just once a year for strategic planning, but not just quarterly. No, you need to integrate mantras into your company that not only help you challenge yourself well, but also help you remember what's at the forefront of what you do. You know, I've actually worked with companies where they took it so seriously that we were talking about this and we were showing them the proof of like, you guys have lost your way. I've actually seen companies take it so seriously where they said, before every meeting begins, no matter where you are in this company, you're going to bring up the fact that customers are number one and we're here to solve their problems. And they had it in their own language, right? And that's an easy example that what you put on repeat, language will drive culture. And if your language isn't right, your culture will start to slip.
Jeff Bezos was famous for having an empty chair at every meeting. And that chair was meant for the customer. And that's a great way to look at this. Like from a mantra perspective, we have a customer who's present in every meeting. What we're talking about, what do you think our customer would think if they were here sitting with us in an internal meeting? And what you were alluding to is, as organizations start to make more money, they start to get comfortable and they start looking at the metrics and they're like, yeah, we can shave off a couple of cents here, maybe, you know, shrink our portion size and give them less because it seems like people are willing to still pay more. You know, we can call it a basic supply and demand look at the business, but every time you start to just increase that profit a little bit more and decrease the service a little bit more, that expands. The biggest company that comes to mind in this space right now is Disney. Disney continues to increase their rates while diminishing what they're actually offering their customer. They have completely lost focus of who their customer is and their original intention that Walt Disney set as the foundation for their organization, partly because of greed, partly because of they've lost their sights of the purpose, partly because they've misalign themselves with their consumers. All of these things we are talking about, you can do a case study at Disney and see happening. And I love the idea of just ensuring that the communication is constant. I had a workshop last week, and at the end, somebody was asking a question like, you know, how do we do this? And I said exactly what you said. It has to be a mantra. It has to be something you say every single day in every single meeting. What would our customers think? Because ultimately, in my view, the purpose of any organization, period, bar none, end of conversation, is your customer. You can have other purposes, goodwill for a community or to increase, you know, whatever, you know, some type of wonderful purpose that is going to help the world in the culture and communities that you serve, but you still have to have a customer in order to achieve those things. And if you lose sight of that, then you are going to go out of business. And if I bring this back to Disney real quick, Disney currently is looking at selling the company because they've lost that purpose so drastically that it's now impacting them financially.
Well, Chris, I got two kids under 10, and I can certainly tell you that it's not hard to see their loss of focus in their product as well, right? When a parent asks the question, why is that in a kid's movie? You know, who is their target audience? If the customer is asking that, then you can certainly say that they've lost their focus. And that brings up a really good point that when your customers start to notice the lack of alignment in your company and they start to notice and they start to ask that same question, are they even really focused on us anymore? Do they even really want to see us succeed? When they start asking that, it's not that it's too late, but I would say, I would sure hope that, you know, your company, if you're listening, If your company hasn't been asked that yet, and if you've heard it, maybe even like one customer say that, I would just have the productive paranoia, right? Jim Collins talked about productive paranoia. I really love that term. Have the productive paranoia to figure out, are there customers who are asking that? And let's go seek it, because I want to make sure that people aren't seeing on our, at the end result of our service or product, I want to make sure that they're not asking that question. Like, have they lost the focus? Like, because this isn't what we thought it was, or this isn't the way it used to be. So if it's got to be surveys or one-on-one conversations or whatever it is, hit it before you even know it, so that you can be proactive and make sure that you're aligned with your customer. You know, that's one way to do it, is just hit the pavement and go ask your customers if the same expectations they had of you 5 years ago are the same they have today. And you're going to find out real quickly if you're aligned with your customer or not.
Absolutely. When we bring all these together, these three that we started off with, leadership, value, alignment, and purpose, those all formulate the culture of any organization. And when we talk about organizational development, we have to focus on the culture in a broad sense. Again, as I just said, leadership has a huge impact in the culture. Alignment and values and purpose have a huge impact in culture. What's one more thing that you feel organizations need to recognize when they're building organizations to ensure that the values, purpose, leadership create positive cultures?
Yeah, I think if there's one more thing I would say, and I would add it because it's part of, again, our 8 to Gray, our proprietary system. It's the components of thriving businesses. And we've already peeled this away. So I'm glad you're asking, because I'm actually prepared for this question now that we kind of went rolling into it. So, but the last component of the foundational four is compelling vision. Like, you can have all these things. You can implement a healthy leadership team and make sure it's all healthy at the top. You can know your purpose and your why, and you can know your core values so that you can filter the decisions very well in any company. But if they don't know where they're going, you're going to find employees start either questioning or dropping off or confused, because they're doing all these great things and it feels like just another day. We all need to know, where are we headed and what's the plan to get there? Now, like you said, these things all, it's like the mantra that actually has been implemented in some of the companies we've worked with, which is, if we do the right things, it'll lead to the right thing, right? Like, you do the right things, it'll lead to the right thing. Well, what's the right thing? Well, you better be able to tell the employees of your company where you're headed, because that's the thing that you're headed towards. And then on your customer side, I think it's just as equally important that they understand where you're headed as a company too, because they can either see themselves a part of that adventure or they don't, right? And so when we talk about value alignment, sometimes we have customers that don't align with our values. The compelling vision is just that same tool that helps us get the right people on the bus, whether it's your customers or employees. So I think the fourth one I would add would be compelling vision.
Well, that aligns with research that I did recently, which was, what are the top 10 reasons people leave organizations? Number one, lack of opportunity or promotions, which is a vision. And number two was no innovation within the organization, where they get to explore new ideas and new concepts and build things for their customers. If the two top reasons that people are leaving organizations are focused on that lack of forward thinking and vision and opportunity, it directly aligns with what you're saying.
Yeah, we often use, research-wise, we use OC Tanner too, and they have the 6 talent magnets. And those 6 talent magnets, 2 of those are right there, right? And you just mentioned them. And the lack of opportunity is one of those. And you can't have opportunity unless people see opportunity. And the vision that you create for your company, people might say, well, I don't have the opportunity today, but if we're really moving towards that vision, I'm going to have opportunity, and that's why I'm going to stay. And customers can say the same thing. If they know where you're headed, they know where you want to go, they can say, okay, you guys are never going to outgrow us, and we're never going to outgrow you because we know your vision, you know our vision, and we can partner together to make that happen. So there's a lot of alignment and clarity that happens when you do have that compelling vision driving the ship, if you will, and showing you the North Star.
And here's the harsh reality. When your customers don't see it, they can go to your competitor. And when your employees don't see it, they can go to your competitor.
Yeah, 100%. That's great. Yeah, great insight.
How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so, you know, the best way to get in touch with me personally is through my LinkedIn, which I'll leave you that information for my LinkedIn. You can message me directly there. You know, you can go to our website, go to the contact us page, fill that out and send it to us, and we'll be in touch with you. Obviously, more of a personal connection is LinkedIn for me. But I'll be honest, if you want to get a hold of us quicker and get our attention, you really want something or you need something, or you just want to meet, like, do it through the website, get the contact us. If you want to just say hi and you're willing to wait for a response within weeks, go to my LinkedIn. If anybody here owns a business, everybody's listening on an audience, like, if you own a business, it's hard to keep up with your LinkedIn anymore, right? So anyways, those are two channels. Check out our website at consultlivingwater.com. And again, the contact us page is a great resource there.
Harrison, I appreciate it so much. Great conversation.
Yeah, it was wonderful, Chris. I really enjoyed just that collaborative time that we had there. And I really do. I want to leave maybe with a challenge for the listening audience. You know, this is easy to listen to, and it's actually sometimes easy for individuals running companies or leadership teams to even say, oh, we should do that. The harder part is actually doing it. So I would challenge you, if you've listened to this and you've actually thought like, hey, we haven't done that in a while, or we haven't done that at all, take 5 minutes and sit down with your team or at least the key stakeholders and just say, we need to list out some of the things that we're not doing that you heard on this podcast, whether it is that compelling vision, that healthy leadership, the purpose and why, or the core values, whatever it is. If you don't have that alignment between you and the customers, you and your employees, ask some really hard questions. Heck, pick up Chris Hood's book and go look at those questions and use that as a resource, because I guarantee you, you're going to come out there with some better ideas, and you're probably going to come up with a team as some ways that you can actually, practical ways that you can move forward.
I love it. Thanks again.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review. Your feedback helps us improve and grow. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, you can connect with us throughout social media and online at Chris Hood Show. And please share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, or anyone else looking to grow their business and start their own digital evolution. Until next week, take care and stay connected.